Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
He'll run it. Howard, left side. Howard, ball four. Touchdown.
That's back.
Drive, step back in the air.
Oh, Kevin, step back and kiss myself. Big time plays, make big time plays.
Woo! Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs winning the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
From your hood to Jay Hood.
Can't wait.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
What's up, and welcome in. This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Have you checked out the podcast? No? Check out the podcast. Wherever you find your podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn app, wherever you find your podcast, look for my show, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. A lot of great conversations as well as hourly shows that we do hour by hour. Every show that we do, you can catch it hour one, hour two, hour three, all there on the Under the Hood podcast with me, Jonathan Hood, right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So if you're looking for a unique conversation, you're looking for what's going on with our shows, if you miss any of them, just go look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, download it, and you can listen to it when you feel like it. So we appreciate your support on that, the Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood podcast. For those of you listening, not only in the Chicagoland area, but across the country and around the world, we appreciate you supporting the podcast, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. And it is growing, by the way, by leaps and bounds. We just started in April by putting our show out there. Should I humble brag about the amount of countries that have been listening to this podcast?
I love the countries list, so please lay it on us.
The countries list. I will give you some ideas of who's listening. And I think in some of these countries, maybe the news just comes a little slower, so they're just catching up on some of this stuff. I'm going to humble brag really briefly because we got to get to Wall of Sound here because we can't wait to hear from some of the Bears dignitaries. The offensive and defensive coordinators for the Bears spoke today, so we will get to that in just a moment. Man, tell New York, it has just been tremendous, the amount of support that we've been getting on for this. Man. Switzerland.
Oh, the Swiss. Nice.
Brazil. Okay. Canada, of course. Mexico. Czech Republic.
Okay. All right. The Czech Republic
has checked in on this program as well. So that just gives you a little sample of the listeners that we've been getting, not only in the United States. Heavy in California, by the way. Heavy in California. Heavy in Chicago. But, we've had a lot of fun with this. Can I give you a few more before we get to the Wall of Sound? I'm going to give you a few more. You want the last 30 days?
Yes.
Just listening to the Under the Hood podcast. We want you to download that podcast. Okay. The Netherlands, the UK, Czech Republic, I told you, Australia, Canada, Brazil, Ireland, Ukraine, Singapore, Germany, France, Switzerland, Pakistan, Egypt, Belgium, Denmark, Croatia, Kenya, Estonia, South Africa, Sweden, Panama, Italy. So far.
It's so crazy. Wow. Right? Just all across the globe. That's so wild to imagine.
So I just have the numbers in front of me. And of course, right here in the good old United States of America and definitely here in the Chicagoland area, we appreciate your support for the Under the Hood podcast. This show is just always going to be different from everybody else's. It just is. We're just always going to be different from everyone else. And we're always going to do it just differently. We do it our way. It's sports. Sometimes, most times not in sports. But we're just having fun. And we're glad that you're part of it as well right here on ESPN 1000. Oh, by the way, the other country that is listening as well, Green Bay. Yeah, that's the other country that's listening.
I mean, does that really even count as a country? We'll give them like a province or something.
That also, Green Bay in its own territory. Also, Green Bay, Wisconsin, listening to the program. All right, we've got to catch up because we got so much sound that you might have missed. Are you ready for the Bears and Packers? Let's get you ready with the Wall of Sound.
Here's my dog, Jay Hood.
Soon radio, I'm told, will transmit news stories within minutes of their occurrence. It's the age of information.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
You play to win the game.
We've got to be the dumbest team in America in terms of playing the game.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were.
What do you care? Okay? You were 2-7, you'd be in a bad mood too.
What's up with the what's up?
Oh, it is time for a Wall of Sound right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let's get you ready for Bears and Packers. All right. Let's start off here first with Mark Helfrich, offensive coordinator for the Bears. His thoughts on the impact that Mac will have against the offensive line of the Green Bay Packers.
When he gets off the bus, it'll be wow. That guy he disrupts life. We have some really good looking dudes on this football team, and he's a guy that he's different, you know, and his approach and he's in immediately with Coach Staley and Vic of trying to get dialed in defensively. And I think that it's infectious, you know, that helps. That helps Charles Leno. That helps Bobby. That helps all of the other guys. There's a little spring in their step because they're gonna have to block that guy every day in practice. And that impacts the defensive line and the rest of the defense as a whole in a big, big way.
As I mentioned to you before, it's so important for Mr. Trubisky and this offense to be able to show something here in this game against Green Bay. I don't see a ton of offense out of this first game, but as you move forward throughout the season, you will hope that you can see growth from this offense. So Mark Helfrich was asked, how comfortable does Trubisky look with his offense?
I have total confidence in him and the guys around him. And then again, the key is just getting off to the right start. He has been, when he's been dialed in practice, he's been fantastic. We kind of definitely have thrown the last 5 years of the Kansas City regime at him. We've thrown that at him. And that's a lot. And Alex Smith went, you know, that happened very gradually for him. It wasn't, you know, whatever the drinking through the fire hose type of, you know, analogy. That's kind of what we did.
What?
And so now we're at the point where we're trying to pull the parts of the water out of the fire hose that he has the most confidence in, that everybody around him has the most confidence in, and we'll hopefully, you know, be able to execute at a high level.
What does that mean?
Drinking from the fire hose.
Meaning like drinking what has, I guess, drinking the Kool-Aid of what the Bears coaching staff is telling him? Is that what he means? I have no idea what that phrase means.
To be overwhelmed, to be inundated with an uncapped, unfiltered amount. So basically it's just too much. You're drowning in it.
I've never heard that phrase before.
It's, you Google it, it popped up. So it's an idiom, obviously. Pardon the expression.
I don't know what kind of riddles Helfrich is trying to give us there, but if you're saying that you've given him a deluge of information and you want him to catch up quickly, I understand. It's like, especially with that voluminous playbook from Kansas City that was obviously brought over to the Bears. So I guess I never heard that before. I colloquialism. Okay, so now we go to Mac. He was talking about how he wants to be part of the rich tradition of the Chicago Bears.
That's what I want to be a part of here, especially just thinking about the potential of what you can do, but not basing it on the potential, going out and actually doing it is what I'm all about. The rich Bears, 1985 Bears defense, just thinking about those days, just seeing it on NFL films and just reminiscing about those times. You want to bring those times back to the present.
Were you a historian? I mean, did you go look at that stuff?
I mean, you can't miss it. If you watch the game, if you love the game, you can't miss seeing Mike Singletary and all these different guys and the Buckets and all these different. You know these names. It's if you love the game, if you play defense, you know these names, and it's a rich history.
Okay, can I just be the first to say it? I'll be the first to say it. I'm raising my hand because I'm gonna be the first to say it. After all this now, let's just focus on football. I don't want to hear any more about the pass from the Bears from Khalil Mack.
I mean, honestly don't need my Bears players to go back and look at 85 film. I don't need them to know what that meant at the time. To me, it doesn't matter at all anymore.
I appreciate him mentioning the history of the Bears. I appreciate that. But that's enough now, okay?
Yep.
You don't have to pander. We already know you're great. So if I'm going to be the jerk, I'll be the first one to say, all right, that's enough of that.
I'm with you completely. Okay?
Because that's that 1990 sports radio I grew up with where if you don't know the history of the Bears and Packers, how in the hell are you going to be a Bear? And no. Just play. You don't need to have the history book in your back pocket to be able to perform. You don't need that. You don't need a Bears media guide, if they still make those, to be able to understand what's going on with the Bears. Don't pander. All right, let's get past all this. I'm playing this now, but if we get this like after a loss on Monday morning, and he's like, yeah, we lost the 1992 Bears, when they were making that transition from Ditka into Wanstead. I don't need all that.
He has a good game. He's like, I really, really felt like Richard Dent coming off the edge there, just flying around the corner.
let's not do that, because I'll be all over him on that. That's enough of that now. That's enough. Vic Fangio asked if Mac will make players better around him.
Definitely. I mean, anytime you add a good player, he makes other players better. Okay, just like good corner play will make him better. Good inside linebacker play will make everybody better. It's a chain reaction, domino effect, and hopefully that's what we'll see.
How about Roquan Smith?
He's just playing. This guy hadn't tackled anybody since Alabama championship game. So that's basically it. He did have a good spring for us, played a lot of plays, learned the defense. But basically, he had a practice and a half out in Denver when he reported and then was out for a while. And he's been practicing here lately, looking better every day. So at some point, you just have to put him in there. You just can't say, he hadn't tackled anybody since last January. He's going to have to do it at some point.
What about his skill set and his makeup give you confidence that he can catch up fairly?
I think he's a good natural football player. I think he understands the game. I think he understands what we're trying to do. He has good reactions, good instincts. And anytime you have that, that helps the process.
What areas have you seen him progress from when he reported to now? Is there anything in particular that has...
When he reported to Denver?
Yeah, around that time to now.
A lot, because, again, he only went about a practice and a half out there and then was out for a while. And he's last week's practices and...
That, my friends, is the wall of sound getting ready for Bears and Packers. You heard from both coordinators there, offense and defense for the Chicago Bears. As you're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We turn to a Super Bowl champion. We turn to someone who's a talk show host for WSSP in Milwaukee. My nemesis, it's Leroy Butler. He's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Leroy, as always, I appreciate your time. What are your thoughts on the Packers for this upcoming season?
Well, I mean, this is the 100th year of the Packers organization. So this is by far, I think, is one of, not only is it the oldest rivalry, but one of the best rivalries to start off a 100-year history with, because there's just so much going on. But besides that, you still have to understand that if you're a Bears fan, anytime you're a new coach, your fans are going to ask you, how do you prepare to beat Green Bay? I know that's a question, and I understand that. So the Green Bay fans have been having a bullseye on their back for a long time. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are thinking after last year, 79, Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, losing Jordy Nelson, that for some reason it may be a little daylight to change the power rankings. But for the most part, if you're you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you say you got to put up or shut up and come get some. And that's why Sunday night is awesome.
So what are the fans saying about this Packers team from your talk shows you do on WSSP, what you get on social media? Do they feel like there's a changing the guard because there's a new GM in place?
Well, it's a lot of unknowns. I mean, because if you look at the roster, it's totally different from what you've seen the last decade when Ted Thompson was at helm. I mean, they didn't just keep draft picks through their rookie contract. If you look at the Vince Beagles of the world, those guys would have made this team. But with Brian Gutekunst, it's basically I'm keeping the best people regardless of position in some ways. I mean, you keep just two running backs, but you got, you know, eight receivers. And, you know, most people like to keep a lot of more defensive backs. Most people like to keep more offensive line. He wanted to keep the best, most athletic team possible. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people, it is going to be a lot of unknowns because you got a new defensive coordinator. You got different nature. So they're just excited to see how this team bounced back from losing a guy like Jordy Nelson, who's the best friend of Aaron Rodgers. What kind of chemistry will he have now that Davante Adams is the number one receiver? And then you also want to see, you know, how can you get after the quarterback if you didn't necessarily go out and get a pass rusher? That guy is now in Chicago. So that's what the fans are thinking. How can you get it done?
Leroy Butler from WSSP in Milwaukee with me, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app as we get ready for Bears and Packers on Sunday night. So what was your initial reaction when you found out that the Bears were able to trade for Khalil Mack?
I was not surprised, Jay Hood, and this is why. I felt as if Khalil Mack goes to any team, it has to be somebody or a quarterback or a lot of guys on rookie contracts, because it will be impossible once Aaron Rodgers signed his deal for them to go out and give two guys close to $100 million guaranteed. I just knew it was no way. Now, when you see a team like Chicago, I think it fits. And here's why. You feel like you have to feel like Mitch is your guy. Trubisky is going to be your quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. Now you got to build through the defense. You got to do it the way that Seattle did it and the way that Denver did it. But in those two instances, they built all up on defense, high-priced guys on defense, and they were able to win a Super Bowl and go to a couple Super Bowls. So you got to feel like you feel good about that. So once Aaron Rodgers got his contract, I knew it wouldn't fit. But when Chicago was able to get Khalil Mack, it surprised a lot of people because you didn't, Jay Hood, you never heard a lot about Chicago doing that.
Right.
But I think it fits. You got a rookie quarterback. You don't have to pay him $100 million until about 3-4 years if he's worth it. You don't have to pay a lot. You gave Allen Robinson a lot of money, but not a lot of, you know, contracts out there. You know, the Leonard Floyds of the world, those guys on rookie contracts. So now's the window open for 2 to 3 years and see, is that contract worth it? And with a guy like Khalil Mack, trust me, you take a chance and see will it work.
Leroy, when you look at Minnesota and Green Bay, how close do you think the Packers are to Minnesota in the North?
That's a good question, because if you look at it pound for pound, we're just being no tribalism here, just alpha independent. You would have to say Minnesota is pound for pound, player for player, the best team in the entire NFL. They got a top five defense potentially, and they got an offense that can put up 30 points whenever they get ready. With Dalvin Cook back, you know, Stephon Diggs, Thielen, Rudolph, they went out and gave, you know, Kirk Cousins a big contract that's fully guaranteed. You have to feel like they're in position to go to the Super Bowl. For some reason, you feel like they're going to mess it up. So if you're the Green Bay Packers, again, it's a lot of unknowns. Those guys are stable over there. The Packers got a new coaches, new front office. They got to try to come under the radar and try to beat teams like that. As a matter of fact, they're playing the second week, and you're going to see how good you really are. Because I think a lot of Packer fans say, as long as we got number 12, we have a chance. That may be true. But remember, this is the team that actually hurt him. So it's going to take more, but at the same time, that's why they play these games, and that's why we just talk about them.
because you're not sure about some of the things with this Packers team, it sounds like you see the Packers winning about 9 games. Is that right? About right?
They're going to win between 9 and 10 games, and that gets you in the playoffs. Anything can happen after that. But if they would have, you know, a little bit more stable, maybe a playmaker, another playmaker on defense, you could say 11 wins and win the division. But it's going to be a fight between, you know, Minnesota and Green Bay to win the North. The North could be, with Khalil Mack coming in, could be one of the strongest divisions in the entire NFL. But over the years, you'd say it's just Green Bay every year. But now Minnesota's put together a team. You can't necessarily say that for sure, especially coming off a 7-9 season where Minnesota, you know, went to the championship game. And for the most part, they feel like with a new stadium, new quarterback, they have all the pieces. But the Green Bay Packers are going to go down swinging if they go down. So they feel good about where they are.
There's got to be another championship in there. Leap, it's got to be another championship, because one championship is fine. I'm just saying that the way the structure of this organization has been, how strong this organization has been in the North, it's about time. If Green Bay's going to get there, if you're going to get in the postseason, they got to make some noise here the next few years, because Rodgers ain't going to be around forever.
Well, I would agree, and I think that's the expectation. It's always been Super Bowl or bust here. I mean, ever since. For a long time, it's been that way. I mean, a lot of people, they don't hang up banners that just say win the division, you know, or get to the championship game. It's about Super Bowls. And I think that's the reason why Tom Brady arguably is the best quarterback to ever play the game. The guy's gone to 7 of them, he's won 5 of them. I mean, you just have to think about being in that game. That's what it's all about. And that's the only thing that, you know, Packer fans care about at this point. If you got a Hall of Fame quarterback, and you got a good coach, and you got a good GM, you should be in the Super Bowl. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sooner or later, it's going to be put, like, pressure on everybody to win Super Bowls or make it to the Super Bowl.
Did you ever feel pressure when for your teams, and you in particular, when you took on Chicago, even though you knew on the other side sometimes the Bears' offense was anemic, where you felt you could be able to get a pick here and there? You knew what the plan was because the offense was not as balanced as the defense. Did you ever feel, overly panicked taking on the Bears?
Well, I tell you what, when you play a rivalry game, you can throw out all the records and everything. It doesn't even matter. Once that ball snaps, everything seems to level out. When you play a team twice every single year, the oldest rivalry, anything can happen. And you just was always told to play your best games in these type games. I mean, if you look all the way back to the Ray Nitschke, you know, all the way back, you know, to just back in the 60s. I mean, the Bart Starrs, all the way back 70s, 80s. I mean, it was always told you want to beat the Bears twice. And, you know, Lovie Smith said it best. Hey, man, I want to beat Green Bay. And, hey, I respected him for saying it.
Yeah.
Because if you're beating Green Bay, you're probably a good chance you're in a position to win a Super Bowl, a championship, or get into the playoffs. And trust me, the Green Bay Packers feel the same way, probably because Jay Hood is so close. It's so close between Kenosha, Racine. I mean, if you're just so close to Chicago, right close to the border right there in Illinois, there's a lot of Packer fans in Illinois, and there's a lot of Bear fans in Wisconsin. So this game, the big buildup, is huge. It's all they've been talking about. It's alumni weekend. It's a lot going on. But you are always told as a rookie, step your game up when you play the Bears.
You're so close, I can smell the cheese on you. Smell like Limburger too. I can smell it.
No. All cheddar here, cuz. All cheddar. All cheddar. Come on now. It melts better too.
It's going to be a heck of a game. So 100 seasons of Packers football. I know that you were part of the golf outing this summer, and I know that there's Packer fans and old Packers that was around you. I know that there's a lot of anticipation because it's 100 seasons of this franchise.
And that's, if you look at every franchise of any kind of sports, anywhere you want to go, if you've been around for this long, you've seen a lot of good football, a lot of bad football, a lot of championships, and you just understand how just special it is to have a stadium that's sold out for 25,000 people on the waiting list. It's just a hard ticket to get, especially a Bears ticket. And it's one of these games, where were you when the 100th season, when they played the Bears on opening night in Lambeau? You know, where were you? I mean, that's one of those games. This is going to be Sunday night. And I think you definitely have to understand, when you get these rookies on both of these teams, I don't know if the veterans down in Chicago tell these guys about it, but you can make, you can bet you believe that every rookie that made this team was told about this rivalry. And I would bet you that some veterans came over to Khalil Mack and said, let me put you to the side. This ain't like Oakland and San Diego, mm-hmm. Oakland and the Raiders. No, this is the top. This is the game you want to be in. And I think he understands that.
You know what I was talking about when this deal took place, Leroy? I was like, boy, what is wrong with John Gruden? I mean, here's a guy here that when he did Monday Night Football, he loved every player. Every player was great. So could he not recognize that there was a great player in front of him? They couldn't make a deal. I love how Mac and Aaron Donald play chicken with each other to be able to finally get the money that they deserve.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. I think it was some differences because McKenzie, the real GM, mm-hmm. when you have a guy you can't fire that gets you, that can talk to the owner, you know, quicker to you, then it's going to be some problems. So it was just mind-boggling to me that they would let a guy like Khalil Mack go, but he made some other people made some statements where the defense wasn't that great with him. But I'm like, it doesn't matter when you have a guy that was all pro at two positions and that carried himself the way that he's supposed to be carried, and you're going into a new whole fan base in the future, this is the kind of guy you want to give the money to. But when you can give the coach $100 million, I guess you can't give a player $100 million. So it is what it is at this point. I'm going to tell you something. The Bears got the best of that. If you look at it pound for pound, trade for trade on this deal, the Bears got the best of Oakland on this one.
Absolutely. So fill in the blank for me. Last thing I have for you. So the Packers will beat the Bears if what? What are your expectations? How can they beat the Bears on Sunday?
If they stop the run and make Trubisky throw the ball 30 times, and just take the run away, and if they protect Aaron Rodgers, if they protect Aaron Rodgers, they're going to put up big numbers, and if they can, you know, force Trubisky to throw the ball 30 times to win, they're going to win.
All right, that sounds good, man. We'll see what happens on Sunday night for Sunday Night Football. I can smell you from here, Bears and Packers. All right, man. As always, I appreciate you, as always.
Anytime, bud. I appreciate it. Take care.
All right, Super Bowl champion Leroy Butler with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Tales from the Hood is next.
You're listening to my mans and them.
Just a man that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
What? Jay Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
It's the Cubs. It's the Nationals. Here's Jesse Rogers. Jess?
All right, Jay Hood, we're in the seventh. Cubs trailing 4-3. They had a 2-0 lead in this one, got down 3-2, tied it at 3, but Kyle Hendricks gave about a 2-out hit to Trey Turner in the fifth, and that's been the difference in the game. One inning before that, he gave up a 2-run home run to Mark Reynolds, also a triple to Anthony Rendon, that all coming in the fourth inning, and he got out after 5. As he was great in the first 3, but struggled in his final 2 innings of work. Meanwhile, the Cubs scored 2 runs in the third inning. That's all they, or excuse me, 2 runs in the third, then 1 run in the fifth to tie the game. Went single, double, single by Baez, Rizzo, Zobrist in the third inning. And then Zobrist, another big hit, sac fly deep to center in the fifth to tie it. But as I said, Trey Turner with an RBI in the bottom of the fifth, the difference in the game. 4-3 in the seventh, Nats lead. Back to you.
All right, Jesse, thank you. Let's do Tales from the Hood.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. is brought to you by the fine folks at Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. The Wildcats return to Ryan Field this fall after a 10-win season to host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more. Buy season and single-game tickets now at NUSports.com. NUSports.com, tales from the hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. We got a hookup for you if you want to go see Fall Out Boy and Rise Against at Wrigley Field on Saturday, September 8th, courtesy of Four Winds Casino. Stay by listening to advice how you can win tickets this hour and also our 9 o'clock Central hour right here on ESPN 1000. All right, now let's take a look at our stories here. By the way, we got Ryan McGee on college football coming up at 9:10. And, of course, if it's Thursday. Throwback Thursday at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Let's see what we have here. First, a man fined $124 for a kicking seagull that ate his cheeseburger at a New Hampshire beach. A man accused of kicking a seagull that tried to eat his cheeseburger at a New Hampshire beach has been fined $124. Police investigated the report from a bystander at Hampton Beach earlier this summer. So the station reports that the man, Nate Ronclose, said that he had just returned from getting a cheeseburger and fries and was sitting on the sand. He said seagulls got into the burger and he spun around with his leg to shoo one away, but struck the bird. He said it was a simple mistake. A witness says that it appeared the bird's leg was injured and it struggled to fly away. Was the man justified for moving the seagull away from his food? I would say yes.
You think, so he shouldn't have been fined, correct?
No.
I feel like if some dude walks up and takes your burger and you kick him, the police are like, yeah, you probably shouldn't take his burger. But if it's a seagull, they're going to give you a citation? Like, no way. Get out of here, you dirty bird. No way.
See, that's the difference between Chicago and Hampton, New Hampshire.
True.
In Chicago, that is a dirty pigeon.
Yes.
You're downtown in an outside bistro, and the pigeon's like, what's up, man? Is it possible that I can get some of your burger? Oop. And you just shoot him away, and he just comes right back at you because the pigeons are aggressive here downtown.
Yeah.
Right? But in New Hampshire, hello, sir. How are you? I would like to have your cheeseburger and fries. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Oh, my leg is hurt now. You're going to get fined for that. But here, sup, man. Burger and fries looking kind of good. Las Vegas.
I'm going to chew on this cigarette, bud.
What's up, brother? Man, you got $5. Pigeon, let me ask you a question. How did you get that Streetwise underneath your wing? How are you selling Streetwise, bird? Felix, that's the paper that they sell outside here, the homeless. I know.
I got it.
I know you're so sheltered. Mm-hmm. In Phoenix, Arizona, what do you mean I have to pee in a bag? Flush diaper causes problems on a plane. A woman aboard a six-hour flight took video of a flight attendant asking her to go in a bag, if you're pardon the expression. If you're part of the expression slash if you're into that kind of thing, what was supposed to be the flight to paradise turned into a smelly debacle when a problem arose with the plane's restrooms. A woman aboard an American Airlines flight to Kona, Hawaii, from Phoenix, said passengers were asked to urinate in plastic bags and bottles. She took the video of a flight attendant asking her to go in a plastic bag. What do you mean I have to pee in a bag? If you pardon the expression. Inaudible, they're overflowing. This one, like this much left. The attendant responded. I guess this is what the video showed where the audio was kind of frayed. The woman who shot the video was too embarrassed to go on camera, but she told 12 News in Phoenix that there was an announcement during the flight telling passengers that there's a problem with the bathrooms. You could see the passengers looking at each other in disbelief, and they were locked. The two lavatories were locked. I mean, people have been going to bottles. Wait. If the lavatories are locked, so are you going in your seat?
He's just kind of just turning his shoulder a little bit. Oh, this is like a road trip all over again here.
Turning his shoulder.
You know, just kind of a sideways roll
as
a little
bit. That does.
Turning a shoulder. That is disgusting.
That's miserable. And this may be sexist, but I feel like it's going to be pretty difficult for a woman to pee in a bag. Like, doesn't someone have to hold the bag for her then?
If you're part of the expression, all of that,
yes, all of it.
Do you have to hold a bag for her? Yes, depending on the situation, yes.
Depends on how nice she is, right?
I mean, good God almighty.
We've been learning a lot about airports lately.
Yes.
Pretty bad. Very bad.
See, some of the homeless out here, they usually have like this streetwise that they sell for a dollar, Felix. Look that up. Google that.
I've never gotten that far in the conversation to find out the price. I've never gotten that far in the conversation with them.
Well, there is no price.
It's just, please, whatever.
Yes.
Donations.
Yes, there is no price.
I haven't gotten that far.
I used to have the bum pocket where if I
just... Oh, like a change pocket. Yes. Loose. Nice.
Yes. You come out of the house with the change pocket. Because I'm like, okay, they're gonna. It's going to be five people coming asking me for change. Who's going to get it today? Jeez. Wow, so many. Tennessee family sues hospital after surgeon leaves needle in patient who later died. A Tennessee man died roughly a month after a surgeon at TriStar Centennial Hospital in Nashville allegedly left a needle inside of him after performing open heart surgery. What? Some Grey's Anatomy nonsense?
It's exactly what it is.
Good God, man.
And then the doctor and the nurse got married.
Yes. Shonda Rhimes joint. Thank you, Shonda. I just thought it was good. It was a good story. The needle was reportedly lost inside the body of 73-year-old John Burns Johnson while he underwent heart surgery in May of 2017. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's a brutal story.
Yeah, that's tragic. Like that dude loses his license, right? You would think.
Wait, all the doctor shows that we have seen, they always make sure that all the utensils are to the side, making sure that the wounds are closed with everything cool, and they happen to leave a needle inside. God almighty!
Shouldn't even set it down there in the first place. But I'm no surgeon.
Yes, you are.
No, yeah, I mean, no. Not legally.
Here you are. Look at this guy climbing. look at this guy to your right climbing the pole. Climbing a pole outside of our studio.
I can't see it, but I see a crowd. What is he
Come
doing?
Come over here. Look at this.
He's shirtless, too.
You should, what is this? You should videotape this.
World star, baby.
You should videotape this. Look at this guy.
Looks like Ray.
Look at this guy. On top of the pole. So I gotta take a picture. I'll put this on the. Look at this guy.
And he's got like five photographers. You're up there. With professional cameras too.
Oh my God. Look at this clown. Climbing the pole outside of our studio.
He's modeling.
Is he really?
Yes, he's modeling. He's got like six professional photographers right around him.
Where are the cops?
He legit has his shirt off, up the light pole, posing for pictures. Might be a pretty good picture with the theater, Chicago Theater, right behind him.
I was going to say, I hope he doesn't jump, but then again.
Yeah, Darwinism. Sometimes we need those people to jump.
Go ahead, Eric, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to stay in sports for this one. I don't know if you saw this, but Todd Frazier yesterday, the old Sox third baseman, now the Mets third baseman.
Yes.
Ball hit just into the stands in the third base line. He dives over into the stands, comes up holding the baseball.
Right.
Ump rules him out. After the game, Todd Frazier admitted he dove over the wall and saw a child's like rubber baseball sitting there and held up a fake rubber baseball and duped the ump because he was laying down in the stands. He says, because they were playing the Dodgers, it's Hollywood. Sometimes you just got to act it out a little bit. Frazier could later be seen explaining what happened to his teammates in the dugout. So there were shots of him showing and explaining to his teammates how he just grabbed the fake ball and tried to hold it up. I was trying to get out of there as quick as possible. I saw someone pointing at the right ball, and I was like, all right, I'm just going to have to play this off. I got in the dugout and was telling people I was flabbergasted that I even got away with it. So he shouldn't be allowed in the Hall of Fame now, right? Asterisk, cheater, not allowed in anymore.
Good point.
That's pretty funny, actually, that story.
It's so funny that he pulled that off.
Felix?
All right, Domino's realizes free pizza for life promotion was such a bad idea. Domino's Pizza in Russia was forced to end a promotion offering fans free pizza for life if they got the brand's logo tattooed in a prominent place.
Oh, no.
On their body after the campaign became too popular. Promotion was originally advertised to run for 2 months, starting August 31st, but the pizza chain ended it only 5 days in after its social media was flooded with excited pizza fanatics, all proudly displaying their Domino's tattoo. The advertisement promised up to 100 free Domino's pizza for life every year for the 100 years to anyone who got a tattoo of the company's logo. And then if you go down the screen, there's like at least 80 photos of just people wearing them. There's like 6 or 7 friends in one picture. They got them in their forearms or wrists. One got them on their necks. This thing went serious. Would you have done it, Jonathan?
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's worth a year long pizza. Of pizza.
I feel Eric would have done it.
I mean, if I was aware. that's a tattoo that keeps paying itself.
You said Domino's, though, right?
Yeah, Domino's, but I've still had yet to have a pizza I don't like. I have pizza I like more than others, but it's still pizza.
You said Domino's, right?
They got a 2 for $7 deal, I think they do, right? Like a 2 medium pizza. You'll be good.
Maybe in college.
There's a lot of Domino's eating in college, that's for sure.
Maybe college. I think I could do better than that.
I feel like when you throw out that promotion, you got to expect that a lot of people are going to want free pizza for life. And yes, a lot of people have dumb tattoos to begin with.
Like Super Bowl tattoos every year tattooed on them.
They did not think this one through at all. No. Domino's people.
Eagles fans, Bears fans. Super Bowl 2017, Chicago Bears.
Cap guaranteed in 3 years, Bears are winning the Super Bowl. So maybe we should make him get that tattoo right now.
Good for Cap, huh?
Yep, exactly.
Good for Dave. And that, my friends, is Tales from the Hood on a Thursday edition here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Okay, let's go through our stories, guys. So you did a story on what?
I did the story on Todd Frazier holding up the fake baseball.
And you did a story on what?
Pizza for life.
My stories. I throw my stories away.
We had a guy.
Oh, yes, I have it here.
We had a guy climbing a pole, modeling outside.
That's not the story.
Kind of fit in well. Tails.
Flush diaper on a. Causes problems on a plane. It started with the flush diaper. You know, we buried the lead on that. It was the flush diaper that prevented people from going to the bathroom. Who flushes a diaper on an airplane? Commode.
There's got to be receptacles for that, right? I haven't brought a kid on a plane, so.
I mean, how about snakes on the plane? You brought one of those?
My own, but that's pardon the expression.
Okay, thank you very much. Great movie, Snakes on the Plane. Great concept.
Great concept, yeah. Yes.
So New Hampshire, the man from New Hampshire kicking a seagull, and those are my stories, right? Those are my stories. So we're asking the question, what was your favorite Tales from the Hood story? Your favorite Tales from the Hood story, caller 2, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. If you can tell us your favorite Tales from the Hood story here tonight, we'll hook you up with a pair of tickets to see Fall Out Boy and Rise Against at Wrigley Field on Saturday, September 8th. Don't call unless you can go. If you want to go to Wrigley Field September 8th to see Fall Out Boy and Rise Against, caller 2. Just tell us your favorite story from Tales, and we'll hook you up with tickets. It's our way of saying thanks for listening to Under the Hood, weeknights at 7 with me, Jonathan Hood.
From your hood to J Hood. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll hear from Terry Bors, his thoughts on the Basketball Hall of Fame taking place tomorrow. Rod Thorne, former GM for the Bulls, is going into the Hall of Fame. We'll talk to Terry Bors about that coming up after SportsCenter. Also, Ryan McGee on college football, all part of the mix right here on UTH.
We're talking Bears with you on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.